Going to look at verses 16 through 21 briefly this afternoon and consider this thought, foundations for our faith. Foundations for our faith. And I want to read in verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as to a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The Apostle Peter, writing to saints of God in general, he begins this epistle with laying some groundwork for putting great emphasis upon the Word of God and its effect in our life. If you study out the purpose of the epistle of 2 Peter, you find that, number one, Peter is trying to arm the saints of God against the attacks from within. In other words, false teachers who would come in and who would teach false doctrine and lead people astray. And he's arming people against false teachers. But secondly, he puts great emphasis on spiritual growth in the life of the believer to become more like Jesus Christ. And the key to all of that, the key to arming against false doctrine and false teachers, the key to spiritual growth in the life is the Word of God. And that's why Peter gives great exhortation to its importance in the life. And Peter begins here in this chapter in verse 2 by talking about God's grace and God's peace. He says in verse 2, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." He says here that God's grace and God's peace in our life is found in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This knowledge that he's talking about is not just head knowledge, it's not facts just concerning a person, but it's more talking about experience, experiencing Jesus Christ in your life. How do you know someone? How do you really intimately know someone? By spending time with them, by experiencing life with them. That's how you grow in intimate knowledge of somebody. Well, how do you spend time with the Lord and learn of Him? Well, you've got to spend time with Him in His Word. And he says God's grace and God's peace comes through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need to grow in our experience and our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ by spending time with Him in His Word. And then he gets to verse 3 and he talks about God's provision for us. And he says, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue." He says that all things that pertain to life, all things that pertain to godly living are through the knowledge of Christ. How do we come by that knowledge? Of course, God's Word. And the question then is, how often do we consult God's Word for answers to life's decisions? God has given us all things that pertain to life. Do we consult God's Word for answers to life's decisions? Thirdly, he talks about, in verse 4, precious promises that enable us, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Where do we find the promises of God that enable us and help us to experience a clean life? Well, it's simply applying God's Word in our life. And so the point is that Peter's laying great emphasis here. And it's great emphasis that's placed on God's Word and the importance of it for everything in life. And we see that again at the end of this chapter in the closing verses that we read in verses 16 through 21, the great emphasis of God's Word. And again, we're going to talk about foundations for our faith today. We're going to just see two principles quickly this afternoon. and again, see the importance of God's Word for our life. We're going to look, first of all, at the credibility of experience, but then we're going to see the more reliability of God's Word. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Lord, I pray that You'd encourage us again with the Word of God and challenge us today, that we might have a purpose of heart to apply it in our life, to experience its truth, its power, Lord, that is life-changing, to the honor and glory of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Consider, first of all, in our text here, the credibility of experience. Now, know what Peter says in verse 16. He says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." The credibility of experience. Peter says here, we've not followed cunningly devised fables when we told you and witnessed to you of the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. So it wasn't a fairy tale, it wasn't a myth, it wasn't some cunningly devised fable. When we expressed to you the life and ministry of Christ, the word "followed" here, it means yield to. The phrase "cunningly devised," it means to continue plausible error. And fables means a tale or a myth. In other words, what Peter says to the saints of God is, we haven't yielded ourselves to and we haven't continued to perpetuate some plausible, you know, could have happened thing, but really it's error and it's just mythical tales. We haven't yielded and succumbed to that, and we haven't continued to perpetrate some mythical thing. We haven't told you of some fantastic mythical creature or story. We saw, we touched, we heard the truth of Jesus Christ. It was real. We were there. We were eyewitnesses. It's not just some made-up fairy tale. Why is he saying this? Well, in their day, there was no better source for what happened in a situation than an eyewitness. I mean, there wasn't, you know, DNA. There wasn't, you know, forensic science. There wasn't the crime scene investigators that could come in and redepict what happened in because of the science. It was an eyewitness account that gave the most credibility to what happened. Their eyewitness account, their personal experience with handling, touching, seeing, hearing the Lord Jesus Christ, it enabled them to speak with conviction and with authority. It gave them some credibility, because they were there. The fact that this event that Peter's talking about, the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ and the voice from heaven, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And he says, this voice which came from heaven, we heard it. We were there when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. The fact that this event, like many others in the life of Jesus Christ, was seen by a plurality of witnesses, it served to strengthen the force of their testimony. But let me ask the question, was the fact that they were eyewitnesses of Christ really the foundation for their faith? Now certainly, it created great boldness in them. It helped them in bringing about great conviction for the message that they preached. You remember on the day of Pentecost, Peter standing up and boldly preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly it gave credibility. Certainly it gave conviction. But is experience really the best foundation for our life and for our faith? Experience is a good thing. Experience can be a valuable teacher. We all know that. But having experienced many things in life isn't the thing that brings about, always brings about certainty or credibility or assurance. It can be very helpful experiencing many things. I mean, for example, being able to help someone who's hurting over the loss of a loved one. Having experienced that yourself, enables you to relate on a better level than someone who has not. Maybe there are hurts, maybe there are burdens, maybe there are joys, maybe there are trials that people go through, and having experienced that myself enables me to relate and minister on a level that I couldn't otherwise. And so it is valuable when someone loses a loved one. I can relate to exactly what they're feeling versus one who has never experienced those things. When it comes to the joys of having children, I can relate. When it comes to the frustrations of having children, I can also relate more than one who has not. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Just hold your place here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. They're not frustrating. They're the best. I love you girls. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Note this here with me. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Paul says to the church at Corinth, he says, the sufferings that we experience, they're for your consolation. He says, we can be afflicted, it's for your consolation. And he says that in verse 6, enduring the same sufferings, you endure the same sufferings which we also suffer. And he's talking about relatable experience here and how it's beneficial in being able to help others. But let me say this to you, experience only goes so far. Experience is a good thing, but experience still pales in comparison to God's wisdom that is granted and found in His Word. And this applies to so many areas of life. Let me give you just a couple. When it comes to making life decisions, you know, experience can be a good thing. Having lived years and experienced a lot of things can bring about some wisdom, but that is not the be-all, end-all. But all too often, many people rely on their own experience rather than trusting in the principles of God's Word. Because Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That is a truth and a promise from God's Word. So often, though, people, they do exactly the opposite. They lean on their own understanding because of their experience, and they don't depend on God's Word. Experience becomes the foundation for their life, for the decisions, the choices that they make. Too many rely on their own wisdom and their own knowledge and their own experience to guide them with what they propose to do rather than really leaning on the Lord's will found in His Word. God's Word can guide us with choices and decisions in life. You know, should I start this business? Should I buy this car? Should I buy this house? Who should I marry? All of these things. So often people rely on their own understanding first rather than the Word of God. When God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Experience is a good thing, but experience still pales in comparison to God's wisdom that is gained and that is granted to us in His Word. When it comes to making life decisions, what is the first thing that you turn to, child of God? Do you consult God's Word? Do you take God at His promise and God at His Word and say that and understand that God's Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path in the way that I should go, and even the obstacles in the path that I should walk around? God's Word is my guide. Well, I've lived this long and I've had this business and I've done that and I do these things and I, you know, I know how to handle this and I know how to handle my money and I can work this plan and I can get it all figured out. You know what? I can afford this car that I can't really afford. I figured out a way to do it. I can go into this business that's just going to rake in the dollars for me. We're going to have an easy life. Understand what I'm saying? There's this person. There's this whatever. And instead of first and foremost consulting God's word for direction, we lean on our own understanding. There is some credibility and experience, certainly. But it's never a replacement for the wisdom granted to us in God's word. Experience is a good thing when it comes to not only making life decisions, but it also can be a good thing for being a witness for Christ too. You know, we should share our testimony with others of what God has done in our life. We should be knowledgeable in God in various things like, you know, creation science and so on and so forth. But none of those things that we can gain through experience should ever be a replacement for God's word, though. The foundation of our faith is not really in our experiences. Many people have had experiences, but they're not from God. Experiences aren't the be-all, end-all. And Peter says, look, we were there. We didn't follow some cunningly devised fable. We were an eyewitness. We've got this experience. We touched and handled and heard the Lord Jesus Christ. But then Peter doesn't stop there. He says, yes, there's some credibility in experiencing Jesus Christ. It allows us to speak with authority and boldness. But then he puts experience in its rightful place when he says in verse 19, look at it, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Peter puts experience in its rightful place, and he says the real foundation of our faith is the reliability and the surety of God's Word. He states that we have a more sure word of prophecy. And he says you would do well to take heed to it because it's a light that shines in a dark place. God's word helps us to see what was previously unseeable. It brings to light the things that we cannot see that would bring harm so that we can avoid it. It gives light to our path. He says that the word of God is better than an eyewitness account. Note what he says in verse 19. We have a more sure word of prophecy. What's he referring to? Well, that statement is compared to his statement in verse 16, where he says, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. But he says, even more sure than an eyewitness account, even more reliable and more stable than that, than my personal experience, is God's word. Why? Well, simply because they're the very words of God. He says in verse 20 that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. It's not made up of my own thinking. He says the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This word moved here, it means to be borne along. It means to be driven. And it carries the idea of wind in a sail that drives and controls the direction of a ship. Holy men of God were moved. They were borne along, driven by the Spirit of God. He says it wasn't the will of man, the determination of man here, but by God Himself. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God is perfect. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. And the question is, what could be more sure and reliable than that? Peter says, even more than my experience, the eyewitness account, we have a more sure word of prophecy, the very words of God. Why? Not only because they're the words of God, but secondly, the Word of God is a supernatural book. It's an alive book that's able to cut straight to the heart. Hebrews chapter 4, you know the passage well. I'll just read it to you quickly. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, "For the Word of God is quick," that means it's alive, "and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Word of God is not like any other book. It's alive. It's supernatural. It's able to cut straight to the heart. The Word of God is more sure than experience when it comes to even our witness. You know, testimony is valuable and everybody should give their testimony, but our testimony is still not a substitute for the Word of God. In fact, our testimony should be based in and solidified in the Word of God. Our testimony certainly allows us to speak from experience with certainty and with authority, but it needs to be based and saturated in God's Word. Why? Because it's the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. The Word of God is more sure than our experience when it comes to making life decisions. And I'll ask you the question again. Do you look to God's Word first and foremost in your life? Answer the question in your heart, in your mind. When it comes time to make a decision on something, do you turn to God's Word first and foremost? Where do we go for making decisions and direction in life? And have you, child of God, let the Word of God, this book that God has given to us, have you let it influence your life beyond that of just salvation? Have you allowed it and let it shape and mold your thinking and your life? Peter, in our text, just before this, he says to the saints of God in verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." Yeah, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Verse 15, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my departure, to have these things always in remembrance." How do we have these things in remembrance? By continually saturating our life with the Word of God and the things of God. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness in His Word. Have you made the Word of God the foundation for your faith and your life? Do you love it? Do you apply it? Do you regularly apply truth from God's Word in your life, day by day? It's the answer for God's grace, for God's peace. It's the answer for escaping the corruption that is in our own heart. It's the answer for life's direction and life's decision. God's Word is the true foundation. Do we make it so? I think sometimes we live the Christian life and we're going about our days and we got things, we feel like we got, you know, things are going pretty good. And we start to let the importance of the Word of God slip in our life. We need to get back to the Word of God as the foundation for our faith. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, encourage us and challenge us with this simple truth today. We grow in the Christian life and we experience a lot of things and we gain wisdom. I've had to counsel and I've had to walk through and I've had to experience all of these different things. And oh, I know what to do in this situation. And it's easy to let our experiences become the thing that really gives direction, when what we need is to find true answers. from God's Word. And Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to depend and rely on God's Word, to love it, to seek to apply it, to know it, so that it can truly be a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage the saints of God today to remember how important God's Word is, and Lord, that we live day by day saturating our life with its truth. Thank you for the day, thank you for the time, thank you for your people. Lord, we love you today, and we pray that you'd mold us more into the image of Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.